I will admit something. I think Kurt Warner knows more about quarterback play than the three of us combined. And so when Kurt Warner says something about turning on the tape and watching a quarterback, it would take some gigantic balls for me to say, I know more than him. So I'm going to preface what I'm about to say next by at least, I'm prefacing what I'm about to say next by admitting that. Like, here's Kurt Warner. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's won the MVP award. He barely lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. I think he can look back at an All-22 and watch a game and analyze quarterback play better than any of us can. But what the hell is he talking about there? He watched that game, and his take on the Steelers' offense was more of the same. And he's no more convinced that Russell Wilson is the guy for their offense than he was before that game occurred. How the hell can that be? I'm stupefied by it.
I don't think that they did stuff a ton differently other than I feel like Russell Wilson was empowered to throw the ball deep more often. I think it was pretty clear that in one game he showed he's much better on play action than field. So I do think there's a fundamental difference there. So I disagree with Kurt on that one. Like, fundamentally, their play action game looks better because, quite honestly, Russ goes to greater lengths to sell the fake with the ball handling and actually like looking like he's handing it off. Fields does that little half turn where it's like, yeah, I might be handing it off, but you know I'm not. I do think that the meat of what he said there is he just threw it up against man-to-man defense. Well, yeah. I mean, that is kind of the Russell Wilson 101 thing. They also had man defense played against them in part because they won't do it when Fields is in there because they're worried if they turn their backs and run, Justin Fields is going to take off for 45 yards.
It reminds me of when fans criticize teams or players, and I know the players hate this, even though the criticism sometimes is, I think, in the end, ultimately right. When we get on teams for doing their job for winning, but not putting a lot of stock in it because of who they played.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say, he did it against man-to-man defense, well, what is he supposed to do against man-to-man defense? Is he supposed to tell New York, why don't you guys switch to zone so people can become more convinced or more persuaded by what I'm going to do in this game? You can only react to and adjust to the way that a team plays you. He took advantage of the way one of the best defenses in the NFL wanted to play him on Sunday night. Like, Warner brings up the man-to-man thing. Like, we have to take what Russell Wilson did with a grain of salt because of the Jets' defensive philosophy in the game. Is it really that big of... Evidently, for Warner, it is.
I just think it's like that he didn't hit guys in stride. Oh, no. I think it's that he didn't hit guys in stride for touchdowns. The Pickens ball is to the outside, and the defender's not going to get it, but Pickens has to make a one-handed catch while he's being held with his other arm, with the other arm. Pickens makes a catch from off a defender's shoulder pads and helmet. Like, I'm not trying to undercut Wilson's performance when I bring that up, because ultimately...
Warner does.
Sure, it was... And that's what I'm saying here. I think guys who played the position say, on especially the second ball to Pickens that was a long completion, that ball should just be a touchdown. And it wasn't.
I just feel like when more stuff gets put out there by people like Kurt Warner, what it does is it at least invites the narrative that if things start to unravel for Wilson in the next few weeks, what Steelers fans will retroactively do is they will then go back to this Jets game and they will, after the fact, poke holes in the performance.
It was fool's gold.
Yes. When it happened, everybody turned off the TV Sunday night and went to bed. They could barely sleep because they were so excited because they saw a much better quarterback play. Monday, everybody went to work. We were all... on cloud nine. And like, now that that elation and buzz has worn off, you have people that are seemingly objective and more clear-minded saying, well, actually look at it. And what you see is not really that impressive. And I don't want to believe that, and I don't want to pay attention to that. But if Wilson goes out there and has a ho-hum performance against the Giants, one of the worst defenses in the NFL, I could easily see people calling into our show and saying, yeah, I know they scored 37 points, but if the wide receiver didn't turn into a superhero on some of those plays, Russell Wilson would have put up numbers that were worse than Justin Fields in that game. I could see that. I also do, again, come back to something you brought up yesterday with Roethlisberger. Is Warner another one of these guys who's so sensitive to his own career and potentially jealous enough where, because it's the older guy who has a similar career, he doesn't want to show the guy any love?
See, that's what was noteworthy. I knew you were going to head in that direction here. Nothing about what I know of Kurt Warner makes me think that Kurt Warner's wired like that to be jealous.
You hear about every touchdown on Monday Night Football, there's a donation that gets made to the Warner House or Warner Island, or I hear that.
Warner House, yeah. It's a house for like developmentally challenged adults, yeah.
I hear Harlan bring that
like
up.
Permanent living.
And I would also sponsored by Barbasol, I think he says several
times. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
he choked on a popcorn kernel. But did you guys hear that?
This week?
On Monday? Harlan on our air, I think the Ravens and Buccaneers, he came out of halftime and he started choking on a kernel. He said, "Do not, kids at home who want to be aspiring broadcasters, do not eat popcorn at halftime." And here comes the ball to the 40, to the 35. He cuts left. He goes right. He spins around. He's down at the 32-yard line. And, I'm sorry. I have more popcorn in my throat.
That's what happens to me sometimes on this show. Like the trail mix.
But have you heard how fast
he
talks?
He throws a tight widening spiral over the hash marks between. I can't even do it because it's like such a rip stop cadence like that.
I would pay Warner more for having to sit next to a man who was talking that fast and that loudly for a game.
Harlan's the gold standard.
Yeah, but it's a lot.
There's a squirrel running at the 30, the 20, the 15, cuts back at the 10 to the 5, touchdown, squirrel!
And look out if a fat person catches a ball when Harlan's on the call, because he's going to have some...
It's a thick six! Don't you think Warner would look at a guy like Russ, just the person who goes to Children's Hospital, does all those hospital visits...
So he'd want to build up the guy
I would think he would see Russ as a good person off the field. Yeah, that's always how I looked at Warner.
True.
Here's the other thing. I'm just trying to suss this out, because you have been unusually frustrated in what has gotten kind of me to arch an eyebrow at you and others whose opinions I respect about this is, I thought this was a very encouraging game. I think he hardly, though, threw perfect passes on some of these big plays he made. What was Warner known for? Why did it work in St. Louis and Arizona and it didn't work in New York?
He had great receivers.
Yes, but he had precision passing games. Like, clearly, especially with Mike Martz, they had it tailored to him. I don't think Warner saw, like, precision. He's on time. The ball's out in front of the receiver. Receiver's catching it in stride. He saw, here's a jump ball to an uber-talented guy. Then here's another ball to that guy that's just going to be chucked in his general direction.
I would think he would say something like, look, I played with Larry Fitzgerald, and as long as I could get it close to him, I knew Larry was going to make that play.
His most famous throw to Larry Fitzgerald was a slant route that Larry caught in stride, and if the ball was a foot behind him, would not have turned into a go-ahead Super Bowl touchdown.
Yeah, but then he also had a touchdown pass in that game on Ike Taylor with Larry Fitzgerald, where he just threw the ball in the air as high as he could in the end zone.
And where was that?
All right, Larry,
where was
just
that ball
jump
in the field?
Up over him.
Was that in the red zone?
Yeah,
that's different though. I think guys say like, yes, it's a tried and true strategy in the red zone to just throw a jump ball. Wilson tried to do it with Pickens in this game. I'm merely saying that I think a lot of the quarterbacks out there just feel like he threw a lot of 50-50 balls. Good for him for putting the ball up in the air when the Steelers usually don't do that. He's going to have to come up with other ways to beat defenses. I don't hear people, for example, ripping either throw to Freiermuth. Do you know why? I think most quarterbacks and analysts say even the one-hander by Freiermuth was a perfectly thrown ball, and the other one where he stopped short, where the defense has him scouted, it looks like, and sidearms one around a guy in stride to Freiermuth, they look at that and they say, those are higher-level quarterback plays than just chucking it to George Pickens.